Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord mighty in battle, the Lord strong. The Lord God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we thank God for just being on the broadcast today. We thank him for all that he is in our life and all that he's doing. And I just thank God for the opportunity to come and bring the word on today. We're teaching on our series, still on our relationship series. And we're teaching a segment on the power of our words. And today we're going to talk about our words, how our words create connection and how they can create disconnection with God. And so we're going to open up the broadcast with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your mercy and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for being our strong tower and our righteousness. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our shepherd and that we shall not want. And we thank you that you are our refuge and our strength, our very present help in the time of trouble. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the word, that for the seed of the word going forward on today, Lord, that praying that it will be planted, oh God, or it will be watered, oh God, and that somebody will be saved and set free and delivered by the hearing of the word of God. And that their faith will increase, oh God, and that they will know you the more. And, Lord, they will continue to hunger and thirst after righteousness concerning just getting more, getting to know you and getting to know who you are, Lord, that they will be able to live their life according to the will of God and to the purpose that God has for their life. So we thank you today for your mercy and for your grace. And we ask you to bless us as this word goes forth on today. Let it be a fragrance in the ear, in the nostrils of your people. Let it be a great sound in their ear, Father, in the name of Jesus, that they will hear the word, be doers of the word, be willing and obedient, O God. Have faith and work with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. And again, I say praise the Lord. So we've been talking about watching what we say and the power of our words and things like that because it's so important what we say. you know, what we think. We had a series on renewing of the mind, which is closely related to this series, because if our mind hasn't been renewed, where our mouth is not going to say anything that we needed to say, and that's just the thing. And so we started out this particular lesson talking about out of the heart the mouth speaks. And, of course, our scripture reference for that was 12, let me get to it, Matthew 12, 34 through 37, where Jesus was saying, where we talked about, "O generations of vipers, how can ye be evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." That's Matthew 12 and 34. And then it went on to say, "A good man out of a good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So it is important what we say. It is very important if we would just, and so I've thought about when I began it, I talked about how our speech reveals our character. And so we don't understand that, you know, we can say one thing or make people believe one thing about us, but when we get to opening up our mouth, it does reveal who we really are and what we really think and how we really think about who God is. Because if we begin to say things out of our mouth that is in, and not in alignment with the Word of God, then it's understood that we really don't know God like we thought we knew it, or that while we want people to perceive that we know Him. Because we have to understand that our murmuring and our complaining and things like that, that is not in God's will, ever. And so those are things that we have to begin to mindfully begin to not do anymore. And so that's when we started out the series. We were talking about, you know, the power of our words and how out of the heart, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, our heart is our mind, our intellect, our will, and our emotions. And so our soul is full of self and the soul needs to be purified to be fit for God's use. And so those are things we have to understand. So we started out our lesson talking about that, and then we went from there to the power of our words, understanding, you know, that when God spoke, He said, "And let there be." And when He spoke, there was, it became. And so we started talking about the creative power of God and how He used the words to form this world and how God uses words to do, you know, He spoke. He wasn't out there digging no ditches trying to make the world come. He spoke and it began to come. When He said, "Let the sun shine," the sun began to shine. When He said, "Let the moon shine by night," it began to shine. And the stars began to shine. And so what God spoke, it happened. And so that's how we have to understand the creative power of our words and how important words are, to God. And so we have to consider that even when Jesus was on the cross and He spoke those words, He said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was pardoning the people that were crucifying Him and the things He's doing. And that reaches all the way to us, because sometimes we still are doing the wrong thing even today. And so we have to understand that God, at all He spoke, His forgiveness toward us and His love toward us, He showed it when He went on the cross. And so we're so thankful to Him for that. And then on last week, we got into a kind of a different topic concerning the power of our words. And we began to talk about, I have all these sheets pulled up, but we talked about one of the things we talked about, how we should speak to the mountain and not about the mountain, and how that, you know, Jesus said, "Speak to the mountain, if you have faith grain the size of mustard seed, if you speak to the mountain, then the mountain will be removed." But a lot of times we don't speak to mountains, we don't speak to the mountains in our life, we speak about them. And so God wants us to learn how to speak to them and then apply the faith as we're speaking to them. If we apply faith with it, then we'll begin to see the results of what we have spoken. And even when we pray, He says, "Pray and believe ye shall receive." A lot of times He said the reason why we don't receive is because we're praying amiss. So we have to understand that faith and our mind and our faith and our words and all of these things are connected together, and how we have to begin to turn these things around in the way we have been used to or accustomed to using our mouth. We have to turn around and use it to the glory of God, and not continue to murmur and complain and speak things that are not according to the will of God or the purpose of God that he has for our life. And so if we begin to do that, we'll begin to see some turnarounds on our situations and in our lives. And so we talked about on that week, and even when I was thinking about that last week, I thought about this and during this week, and I was thinking to myself, I said, how would it be different if we got up in the morning and began to even prophesy over our life and begin to say, you know, instead of getting up saying, oh, I'm like getting on to work, or, oh, I don't, you know, oh, tomorrow's Monday, I got to get up, oh, I'll be glad when Friday comes. You know, we say all of those things, and those might be things that we really do think about. But, you know, what would it be if we said, you know, before we got out of bed, after the alarm clock rings and we turn it off, if we just simply say that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. We begin to prophesy something different over our life instead of speaking those things that cause us to have these weary days and things like that. Bible tells us don't be weary in well-doing, but in due season we'll reap if we faint not. And so what we have to do is begin to turn the situation around on our situation. Stop speaking negative to it. Stop speaking death to it and begin to speak life. We talked about that even when it concerned our children and concerned our family members and things we say to other people. Speak life to people. Speak life to people and stop speaking death over. Stop saying, oh, you're stupid. Oh, you're this. You're this. Stop saying those things to your children because those are things that you're speaking over their life. And then when they become those things, then we're what happened to my child? Why did this happen? Well, you kept speaking the situation over their life. So watch what you're beginning to say as you begin to go through your day and as you adjust it to your family. You know, if you want your family, if you want your marriage to work, then begin to speak positive things over your marriage. I told you a little while ago, I think it was when we were talking about speaking those things that are not as though they were. We talked about that. That was one of our lessons, too. And that was how God, he was speaking those things that are not. If we're going to do that, then we have to begin. Sometimes I talked about making a prayer list of scriptures that you want positive things to be, that your life to change. Like, you know, you want things to change in your life and not be the same. So if we want that to really happen, then we got to begin to pray those things over our life instead of praying detrimental things to our life. Learn to speak God's language. And so if we learn to speak his language, then we're learning what the Word of God says. I was talking even on last week of how that when somebody comes to the Lord and they begin to make their confession, and like in Romans 9 and 10 where it says, for with the heart a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and this is out of the Amplified, of course, and relies on Christ, so is justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God, and with the mouth he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith, and then confirms his salvation. And so we were even talking about that. We said confession confirms the believer's position before the enemy of his soul. And so when I was thinking about that, and it declares his change in allegiance to the enemy. When he says, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe that God has raised him from the dead, and then he confirms that for his salvation, then what he's telling the enemy is that I'm no longer on your side. I'm living for Christ now. And so how be it, that's what I was talking about earlier when I said how different would it be if we begin to confess those things over our life when we wake up in the morning. I remember one of my church mothers and one of my dear mentors, she would always talk to us about prayer. And one of the things she said that when she got up in the morning, she prayed, one of her prayer requests was that, Lord, she would have a stress-free, a conflict-free, a worry-free day. And then she began to rebuke the things, I guess, that were really going on in the office. Like, I rebuke the confusion. I rebuke lying and cheating and stealing and people talking about people. And I rebuke these things. And she said, we will have a stress while we rebuke the turmoil that went on during the day. But she said, I pray that we have a stress free and a conflict free and a worry free day. And she began to pray those things. So what if we begin to pray those positive affirmations over our life? And like I was telling you earlier, if we would begin to get us a list of things that we want God to do for us, that we, you know, that when we begin to speak God's language, that if we speak what the Word of God says and be consistent with speaking to and persistent with speaking what the Word of God says, even though we do not see any change. We got to understand, I gave an example last week of how that a rock cutter, he had hit the rock 99 times, and he had kept hitting the rock, and he hit it about 99 times, but then, and then it looked like it was no sign of the rock splitting. But on that 100th time, the rock split in half, and how we have to keep being persistent at things, because he could have stopped and said, "Forget it, this thing is not going to break." But he kept going because he said he knew that the persistence of it was weakening the rock, even though he couldn't see it. So how would it be on the Word of God if on our particular circumstance or our situation that we keep speaking the Word of God to it, we keep speaking the Word of God to it, we keep speaking the Word of God to it, and we don't fail at doing that. We just keep doing it every day and every time. And I remember, and how would our situation begin to change? We would see the thing begin to turn around because we kept putting the Word of God on. The one thing that God promises is that His Word will not return unto Him void. So if we're putting the Word of God on it on a constant basis, on a consistent basis, we have to begin to see a turnaround. Because if we're believing what we are saying, and we believe that God, our confession is the Word of God, but yet we are believing in our heart that this thing is so, then the Word of God has to change our circumstances. And if we understand that, and that takes me right into my next lesson when I talk about that, if we understand that if we continue to speak the Word of God and we align our speech up with what God says and we begin to be a mouthpiece for God, that we will begin to see a turnaround in our lives and in our situation. Instead of murmuring and complaining and talking about, "Well, Lord, why is this happening to me? Why did this happen to me? Why is this going on? Why can't I have this?" Like you see somebody else with something, or you see somebody else. You know, at one point in time, I was wondering, I said, "Well, Lord, you let everybody that got let go on my job." And I said, "You let all of them get a job, but why am I struggling to get one? What is the purpose?" But evidently, God has a different situation. Maybe He was working some things out of me. Maybe He wants me to trust Him more. Maybe, you know, and He does. He wants me to trust Him more. He wants me to believe that He is my source. You know, and He's been always been my source. Those other things are just resources. But He wants us to trust Him more. He wants us to get into our, and then we pray these things. "Lord, bless me to find my purpose. Bless me to walk into my destiny. Bless me to be a vessel unto honor. Sanctify me for You." We're praying for God to do those things for us, but yet we don't want to go through the sacrifice that it takes to get to those places. And so sometimes God takes us through some difficult times in order to get us to the place that we've already prayed and asked Him to get us to, what we really desire to be for Him. And so, yeah, it might come with some difficulty. It might come with some trial. It might come with some tribulation. But if we would begin to stand on the Word of God says, yeah, in this life you'll have tribulation. This is John 16:33. In this life we will have tribulation. But to be of good cheer, for I have already overcome the world. That's what Jesus said in His Word. And so we have to begin to understand that what we say is so important. And so we have to begin to speak. If we want a good life, if you want a good life, if you want a good life that doesn't have, and then you got to change the way you talk about things. Stop talking about, "Oh, they did this to me," and then "they're doing this to me." You ain't that important. God is important. Jesus is important, and we're important to Him. But you're not that important to the next person. Understand me. Because everybody got stuff going on. So why is everybody concentrating only on you and not on what they going on in their own life? And I know we got haters and people that come try to, sabotage what we're doing. But if we focus on God, we don't have to worry about the saboteurs. We don't have to worry about the accusers of the brother. They're like the devil. And the devil is not the winner. We are on the winning side if we're on the side with Christ. And so if we're on that side, we've already won. We just got to walk into the victory. We just got to walk into the place that God is telling. We don't have to keep suffering at the hand of people because we want to keep reiterating what this person has done. "Oh, they got this, I'm coming again." Oh, nobody don't care. You shouldn't even care. Care about what God says about your life. Go for that. I remember I kept getting inundated with this prophet that kept calling me and kept sending me emails, kept calling me and calling. I thought to myself, "Lord have mercy, what is all of this going on? That the enemy's doing this to you, the enemy's doing this to you." And after a while, that stuff starts to become a part of your thinking that the enemy's always after you. But how about the word of God is bigger than the enemy and any storm that the enemy can kind of, that the enemy can even dream up or even stir up. Jesus was in the midst of the storm and said, peace be still. He can speak peace be still to your storm. We don't have to be concerned with what these things are saying and all this stuff. Focus on what God is saying. Speak out what God is saying about your life. If you need to have more obedience, then begin to speak Isaiah 1:19. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. That you go or Deuteronomy, go to Deuteronomy and begin to speak those things of your life or what God is requiring for us to do so that we can be obedient. Those are the things that you want to put on your life. Those are the ways that you want your life to change, not the ways that are still of the old of the world, the evil ways. Change your life for good. That's why he said in Proverbs 18 that power and death are in the power, the death and life are in the power of the tongue. You got to be careful what you are speaking over your life and what you are allowing to bother you so that you don't even realize what you're speaking out against yourself. We have got to turn it around. We have got to turn it around because we have got to begin to speak what God says and not speak what the enemy wants us to speak. When the enemy says something like, why did you allow this to happen to me? That's the enemy telling you to speak. He's the accuser. So he's telling you to speak something that's not even, God ain't trying to hurt you. He's trying to make you better. He's trying to get you to a place of victory. It would be the same if Abraham, like when Abraham was, God told Abraham, go sacrifice Isaac. He had promised him a son. And he had promised him a son through Sarah. And then he's going to tell him to go take the boy's life. Abraham believed God so that he knew that God had a different plan. He just said, I'm going to go on and do what the Lord told me to do. I'm not going to walk in disobedience concerning it, but I'm going to go forward with it. I got all the stuff it would take to sacrifice, and I carried it with me. But one thing he prophesied, he told his men that were with him, he said, y'all stay here. He said, me and the lad are going forward, but me and the lad will be back. So he knew God had a different plan. He just believed God so that he knew God had a different plan for his life. And he didn't allow the thing that God told him to do to upset him so that he would walk in disobedience concerning what God had said. These are the things that we have got to begin to think about, the things we've got to begin to watch what we say. We got to declare the word of God over our life and not declare what the enemy wants us to believe that God is or is not doing. We have to change the way we think about things. And so the way to do that is to get yourself in the word of God. Make yourself a list. I told you earlier in the lessons a couple of weeks ago, get you a list of things that you want. If you know what you want to see change in your life. You know what you want. If you want to be happy, if you want to have victory, then to begin to speak victorious things over your life. Get you a list. Make you a list from the word of God and begin to do that. Right now you can Google whatever you want. The scriptures are mostly out there anyway. If you want hope, then Google hope. What scriptures about hope? They'll pull up a whole thing of scriptures. You begin to talk. You can begin to pray those things over your life in your prayer time. Just sit there when you're praying. Begin to read those scriptures and pray. I used to have a scripture prayer list, and I still have that prayer list. And I pray that list over my life because these are the changes I want to see make plain in my life. I wanted ministry to come out of me because I knew it was in me. And so then I began to pray those scriptures. And so then I begin to see God strengthen me and give me faith and give me, give me some tenacity to do the things that God is telling me to do. We can't be fearful when it comes to God. We can't worry about what people are going to judge us about. We can't be worried about all of that and let people say, well, yeah, you don't need to be doing it. You can't do that. You have to do what God is requiring. And so I want to get to, oh, Lord, I said all that. I want to get to my lesson today and talk about us murmuring and complaining. Because murmuring and complaining will cause you to stay right where you are. Now, praise and worship will cause you to be able to move and get to the purpose and destiny that God has for your life. If we think about the children of Israel, perfect example. of murmuring and complaining and all the things that them a lot to when they was murmuring and complaining, because what it did was the 11-day journey that would have took them to the promised land ended up being 40 years because of their murmuring and complaining. Now, you're talking about a nation. We're talking about a nation that when they started out, let's think about it from this perspective. The words that came out of their mouth was what caused God to hear them. And if you look, if we look at Exodus 3, verse 9, let me pull it up. Exodus 3, verse 9. Yeah, 3, verse 9. It says, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them." Now, that's the. It was words, and I'm just talking about the words that came out of their mouth, that caused God to even begin to hear them. Now, God had already promised them. God had already told them, really. They kind of had a heads up of what was going to be going on, because God had told Abraham that your seed would be afflicted for 400 years. And then even Joseph, before he died, he told them that they were going to be in captivity. I think here it is right there. It said, Joseph said to his brethren, "I am going to die." But God, this is in Genesis 50, 24 and 25. And this is out of the Amplified Classic Version. It says, "And Joseph said to his brethren, I am going to die. But God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give you. And Joseph took an oath from the sons of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you will carry up my bones from here." And so if we look at that and we look how the Lord prophesied, and of course, one thing the Israelites were commissioned to do was to keep reiterating the things that God had done for them over and over and over again, so that the next generation would know what God had done. Now, sometimes they fail at that, and I think we've even failed at that today, and that's why the generation now is kind of, you know, they're a little far from God when you think about it. Some of them don't even think regardless, don't even go to church at all. They don't, you know, they have their thoughts about it, or, you know, why do I need to do this or why do I need to do that? And I think some of that is because we have not reiterated the wonderful things that God has done, because at some point, we began to get weary about of waiting on things, I think, because we became such a materialistic society where, you know, we based our success on things. And, you know, if I have things, if I drive a Mercedes, if I live in this house type of house, or if I have these types of clothes, if I wear these in the designer brands, then I base that on, you know, then I'm a successful person. But that's not necessarily so. I was actually at a comedy show, and the one thing the comedian said, and I'm just bringing this up, is because he said, just because somebody has a lot of money does not mean that they're happy. You might find more happy people with less than you do with more, because sometimes they have all this stuff, but then all the trial and tribulation that comes with having all that stuff does not make them happy. And so that's, you know, so we have to be careful of what we look at that others have and then covet it. And so we have to be careful of that. And so so the thing of it is that we were so busy trying to, you know, keep up with what other people had that we kind of didn't go about doing what we should have been doing, is making sure the next generation knew about God. And because when we came up, they didn't change the way that they, you know, they didn't make it, well, we got to reach the next generation, so they changed the way they did things. They didn't do that. We came up the same way, and they put that stuff in us, and that's the reason why some of us have been able to stand today, is because of the words and the things that they taught us about being saved and about God. And so we grasped hold to those things, and those became our foundation, and those became what we stood on, and those are the things that came to be what we knew about God. So anyway, here we have the Israelites, and their first thoughts were, I mean, one of the words that they said were, Lord, you know, deliver us, our taskmasters. You know, they had begun to put more and more on them. Because what it was Pharaoh and them were scared of the Israelites because they kept growing. They just kept being more and more and more of them. And so their thought was, if somebody comes against us, they might join sides with them, and they might overtake us because it was so many of them. But God used Egypt as an incubator for the nation. And so because of that, let's look at that for a minute. He used that situation that really had enslaved them to really make them a great nation. Sometimes the Lord is using our circumstances that we're going through to make us the man or woman or God of God that he has called and purposed and destined for our life. And even though it might be rough, it might be hard, it might be all of these things, but it is for our making. It is for us to grow from it and move on into the place that God, if we want to get to a new level, then we got to climb some stairs. We got to climb up some stuff. We got to overcome some stuff to be able to get to the next level. It doesn't come easy. And so we have to remember that. So here it was, their words, their cry out to God is what God got God to say, I've got to, they have oppressed them, that they were oppressing them, and that he has got to save them. So then the next thing we know is here come Moses in the situation. Now Moses had been in Pharaoh's house, realized that he was a Hebrew, and came out of Pharaoh's house, that he would rather be with his people than be in the house of Pharaoh. And so then, of course, he killed an Egyptian, and he had to flee. But so all of these things that began to happen to Moses, and then when he was at the burning bush up there with Jethro and with his daughters, and he had married one of them, he was there and saw the burning bush, and then that was his call back to, because Moses had always been purposed, he's a type of Christ, to be a deliverer. And so then God calls him, and even then Moses began to complain, said, well, Lord, I can't speak well, I can't do this, I can't. And that's what we do so many times when God is calling us to something, he's giving us a specific assignment. We always go to telling God what we can't do instead of just saying, well, if he called me to it, he must know that I can do it. So just go to start doing what he says do. We have got to change our thought pattern, our mindset about these specific things so that we will not continue to hinder our lives, because we're hindering our own lives. We want to say it's the people doing this, the people not letting me do this, or the people not doing this. If you focus your attention on focus off the people and put your focus on God and what he's telling you to do and move forward in that and stop living in fear and doubt, then you wouldn't have no hindrances. They were hindering their own. Moses was getting ready to hinder his own progress. And then the Lord said, well, I'm sending your brother to you, and he's going to be your mouthpiece. And so he began to go to Egypt, and then he began to talk to Pharaoh about letting the people go and all these things. And then even the people, now they done cried to God about delivering them. And then the next thing you know, they tell him, because things got a little harder for them, which gets harder for us sometimes. Things begin to get harder for us. And instead of us understanding, instead of us beginning to praise God for evidently thinking enough of us that he would put more, put that on, because he never said he would put more on us than we could bear. So if he's taking us through this, he's taking us through it for a purpose so that we can come out on the other side of this thing and be exactly what he has called for us to be. And so here they are, they murmured, the next thing they know, they told Moses, didn't we tell you not to be doing this stuff and doing this and doing this? And so they had already started their complaining. They had already started it. And if we really think about, if we think about complaining, where was complaining really birthed? Who started all that murmuring and complaining to begin with? Adam was the first complainer that we had. Because when Adam got in trouble in the garden, the first thing he wanted to say was, God, it was that woman you gave me. That was his first thing. So he was the one that started out the complaints over in Genesis. He's the one that started it out. And then Moses, like I said, Moses started complaining when he kept trying to, you know, tell God what he wasn't capable of doing and all of that. And so then we got to understand that. When God, who is God, calls us to something, then he's going to equip us to do it. We're worried about who's not going to be in our corner, Who's not going to help us? They're not promoting me. They're not calling my name. They're not doing this. And all of us are guilty. Most of us are guilty of these things. And so, but we have to understand, if we really want to be used of God, then be used of God. Stop all worrying about what somebody does or does not do for you. It ain't about that. God is over them. They had to get the same situation. For them to get to the elevation that they are at, they had to go through some stuff. It just didn't come by osmosis. It came because of trial and tribulation and their integrity to keep moving and their tenacity to keep moving in God. And so God is blessed them because he feels like he can trust them with what his anointing. Well, we want God to trust us with his anointing. And so then we have got to begin to stop moving in fear. I remember when I was telling somebody about writing a book, and I told them, I said, well, you know, and this was my thing at the time. I said, well, you know, I've never been a good grammatical writer. This is what I said. And I wasn't. When going through school, I wasn't. I was a math person. I did very well in math. And so I don't know what it was about English. But anyway, I'd always write papers and have a bunch of red lines and marks and stuff on them. So I believe sometimes we get fearful about those types of things. But the one thing the teachers would always say to me, English teachers would say to me, they said, Denise, you will make a good short story writer because I had such imagination. And they would always tell me that. And then I began to write poetry when I was younger, and I began to write that and got published in a high school book and all those types of things. And and so I kept writing and writing. And one time the day the Lord told me, he said, your hand, you're going to be able to use your hand, are going to be a blessing to you. And you're going to write. And so, but I was worried about my grammatical errors is what I was worried about. And somebody said this to me. They said, well, that's what they got editors for. And from that day forward, I didn't worry about it no more. God has people in place to help you through the places, just like God sent Aaron to Moses to be his mouthpiece. God got people in place to help you through the situation. You just got to seek in the negative stuff over your life and go and do what the Lord has told you to do. And so we got to stop the murmuring and complaining. I'm probably going to finish this next week, because I probably won't get finished with it through today. But anyway, because it's got a whole lot to it. This whole topic about the power of your words and speaking, learning how to change the way you think about things and speak. I'm learning to, before I say something, is to think about what I'm getting ready to say so that I won't speak something negative over my life. And that's going to come with a lot of practice, because when you've been used to doing it so long, like the children of Israel, they were complaining. The children of Israel, they complained for so long. And then when they got to Kadesh Barnea, the 10 spies went over there, and they came back with a bad tour. Eight of the 12 spies, and then two of them came back with a bad report. What happened? They ended up staying in the wilderness for 40 years. But the two that came back with the good report got to go to the promised land. So even that, he allowed those men to live long enough to go to make it through those 40 years. They were already a good age when they came out of Egypt. But make it through those years, be able to go to the promised land, you go through all that they went through even at that point, and still be able to see what God had promised them. So it can happen no matter what your age was. I believe when Joshua took over after Moses, he was in his 80s. So we got to understand, or even older than that, but we have to understand that God has good things for us, but we have got to get in the will of God and begin to speak the things over our life that God is saying and not murmur and complain about everything. Some people, and I've been guilty of it myself, we murmur and complain about everything. You know, and then what's so sad about that is it affects other people. It affects other people when you sit and murmur and complain about everything. And when you steady talk about what somebody's doing to you and what they can't, it's too much. You are causing yourself to lose instead of win. If you want to win in life, this is a good time to start. If you want to win in life, change today what you're doing. Learn how to praise God during your situation and not murmur and complain about it. Stop talking about what you feel like other people are doing to you, because that might not be their thought pattern at all. That might just be you making it up in your mind because you just think everybody's against you. It don't matter. The Bible says if he be for you, he's more than the world against you. So why are we concerned about the people that come somewhat or against us? I had a situation at work where they began to, I felt like people, they were doing some negative stuff. And so I decided, I said, well, how are we going to handle this? Are you going to retaliate? Because I could, because, you know, that's how sometimes we do. And I told myself, no, you're going to put the word of God on it. And that's what I did. And it began to turn around. Next thing I know, the one girl that was heading it up, she come ask me, I'm going to take you out for your birthday for lunch. I was looking real strange. I almost didn't want to go, but I went on and went. I said, because, you know, I prayed that the Lord would turn it around. So when God turned it around, then move in and turn around. Don't keep acting the same crazy way. And so those are some of the things that have been going on. But what I'm saying is our murmuring and our complaining will cause us to lose. And so here we are with Exodus. I'm going back to the Israelites. They were coming through the wilderness. And even when they got to the Red Sea, the first thing they went to go saying was, now they had seen a lot of miracles. A lot of miracles. They had saw so many things, and yet when they got to the Red Sea, they went back to, well, Lord, you know, what did you do? You brought us here to die? We would have been better off in Egypt. Begin to murmur and complain, but yet God delivered them still. He told Moses, and they were getting to cry out. He told Moses, this ain't time to cry out. Lift up your rod. And they went across on dry ground. And even after all of that, it was just one thing after another and after another and after another. And they just kept murmuring and complaining. Oh, we need water. We need this. We tired of eating the manna. We need this. It was one thing after another. Our shoes are wearing out, all this. You know, it was just one thing after another. They just kept murmuring and complaining about it. And because of that, they did not make it to the promised land. Do you want to not make it to your promised land? Do you want to not make it to really live the fulfilled life that God has for you, the victorious life that God has for you, because you want to complain all the time? We have got to turn that situation around where we turn our complaining into praise. When you want to complain, get some scripture that praises God for something, that praises God. And so that you won't, when you get a complaint, just start quoting that scripture. We have got to turn our thoughts around and comes out of our mouth around. We're going to begin to talk about the tongue here, and not this week coming up, but the next week we're going to start talking about all the different things that the tongue do, because it's our problem. The tongue is our problem. And so we have got to change the way we think about things. If we want to win in Jesus, if we want to win in this life, we have got to watch what we're saying. We got to stop murmuring and complaining about everything. You know, women at your house, stop murmuring and complaining about everything. As soon as your husband come home, you start complaining about everything. He can't even get a word in edgewise because you're so busy talking about what done happened to you. You don't even be concerned about what may be going on in his life. We have got to stop that. Stop talking, running your kids down to the ground. You're stupid, you're dumb. Well, then you wonder why they're not bringing home good grades. Well, you keep telling them stupid. Start telling them they're the smartest thing. Start telling them that they can do it. Oh, you're capable of doing that. That's not too hard for you. With God's help, you can do anything. Those are the kind of things, the positive affirmations that we need to speak. And so I know I feel like I'm just kind of talking and fussing today, actually, but I just want us to get in our mind and our thought pattern and really begin to, this week, begin to think about what you are saying. And if you begin to complain, turn that complaint around into a praise. Praise your way out of situations. And now, because complaining ain't going to get you out of the situation. Complaining will cause you to stay right where you are. But praise will cause God to bring you out. So it's up to you today. It's up to you this week to decide whether I'm going to complain or remain, I'm going to praise and get out. That's what you got to do. Those are the decisions that need to be made today. This is some plain and simple stuff. But you got to understand, your complaining has caused you to stay in the situation that you are in. It's caused you to stay there. That's what caused Israel to stay in that wilderness 40 years. It caused them to do it. But when they began, when that another generation came, and they felt like we were well able to do it, they got to go across that Jordan. Now, Moses didn't get to go because he allowed the people to put him in a situation that he didn't do what God told him to do. And so he didn't get to, but the Lord let him see it. So, but we don't want to just see it. We want to possess it. So if you want to possess the blessings and the life that God really has for you, start to praise him. Start to worship him more. Start to be thankful. When you get up in the morning, command your day. Tell the enemy, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Not the, oh, why does it all the time? Oh, I didn't seem like the time went so fast, I didn't sleep. Don't do none of that. Anyway, after I left, I went to minister today at the hospital. When I left from out there, I just began to thank the Lord for me being in my right mind. I began to thank the Lord for me having all my senses working and being able to walk and being able to feeling my good health. I began to think about all that, a healthy mind, healthy emotions. I began to thank the Lord for all of that. We got to begin to thank God. If we have a pain in our knee, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that I'm going to tell you this story. One thing the doctor told me, I had got that spider bite, and it was so painful. And I'm telling you, I was like, oh, my, it was so painful. I was taking pain medication, and I don't like to take pain medication. But I was taking the prescription kind because I could not take the pain. It was just that painful for me. And I'm kind of a high-tolerance person when it comes to that. I don't usually take aspirin when I have a headache, you know, some of those kind of things. But this thing was really painful. And the one thing the doctor said to me, well, if you couldn't feel the pain, then we would be concerned. And I thought, what is she doing? Because she was saying, because that let them know that the nerves were still intact. So if you can feel, maybe things are painful in your life, but that's letting you know that you are still, everything is still intact. And so what you got to do is begin to praise God through the situation. Praise Him. And I remember being up sometime during the night because I couldn't get no sleep because I was in so much pain. I would walk these floors and praise God because I wasn't going to give it. Wasn't no waiting. He told me, oh, there's so much pain. Wasn't no need doing all that crying. But I began to walk up and down this floor, and I would just thank God and praise God because I wanted to. I wanted God to heal my body and take away. So I just begin to praise him and to thank him and to praise him and to thank him. And I begin to see the change. When I would go to the wound care clinic, it was getting better and it was getting better and it was getting better. And finally, I didn't have to go back to them anymore because things had begun. But I remember myself walking and praising him, walking and praising him. We have got to begin to turn things around when we talk about our circumstances and our situation. Turn your complaints into praise. And I'm telling you, I believe I'll hear some testimonies about it. If you this week make yourself mindful, then you get ready to say that negative thing out of your life, praise God instead. And watch God begin to pull you out of your situation and instead of letting you stay in it. Complaining will keep you in your place, but praise will take you out of it. So I'm through for today. I thank God for the lesson today, and I thank God for it. We'll probably finish it up and talk back because we got to understand. I want to say this before I go. Praise connects us to God. Complaining is our disconnect. So if you want to be disconnected, then keep on complaining. But if you want to be connected, then keep on praising. And I believe you will see a change come in your life. Those are the things, those are the lessons I talked about today. Does anybody have anything they want to say? So we have got, next week we might stay on, we'll come back to this and talk about it just a little bit more. But then we're going to talk about, like I said, prophesying your future, making sure that you get up and talk about, you put the right things over your life. And command your day to be a great day instead of a bad day, and you know, no matter what happens, just say, you tell yourself, like Mother Gwen used to pray, she said, I'm going to have a stress-free, conflict-free, worry-free day. That's what I'm going to have. And so begin to say those things over your life instead of talking about what the bad things that could happen. Speak positive things over your life so that you can be able to see a difference in your life. And I'm just going to go. And so what I want to ask is there any, I want to pray for those who that may not know the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 9 and 10 says, if thou would confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you've heard the word today and it has blessed you and you want to give your life to Christ today, this is the day of salvation. And so you can give your life to him today. And if you repeat this with me, Father, I am a sinner, but I'm giving my life to you today. And I'm asking you to save me and to fill me with your Holy Spirit that I might be able to walk upright before you and be able to live in the life that you have died on the cross for me to live. And, Lord, I surrender all to thee today so that you can change my life and begin for me to walk anew. And then the Bible tells us if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So, Lord, bless my life to be connected to you and not disconnected. In the name of Jesus, I believe if you prayed that prayer today that you are saved. And you can find you a good Bible-believing church and begin to attend that church and be able to grow more and more by hearing the word of God. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You can begin to hear the word of God and be able to walk according to the word of God. But remember to change your speech this week. Begin to look for words that are more positive to your life. I think it's in Philippians where it says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of a good report. Think on those. Begin to say those things about your life. I remember Joel Osteen wrote a book called I Declare, and in that book he began every day it was a different declaration, and so he began to do that. But you can look up scriptures in the Bible, like if you need peace, then look up the scriptures that say about peace. Like I said, you can Google them on your phone. They say scriptures about peace, and you know, come up, they'll bring up all the scriptures in the Bible about peace, and begin to read those scriptures over your life, and begin to do that so you can begin to get them, because then the more you read them, the more you'll memorize them, and the more that'll become a part of you, what you put in. So you're nourishing the spirit man and not the fleshly man with your complaining, but nourishing the spirit man with the word of God, which will cause you to be able to praise God. And so when you're doing that, then you'll begin to see different results in your life. Those are the things we want to do. Those are your assignments this week for all of those that are listening and those that want to make the change that their mouth has brought the wrong circumstances in their life, and they're ready to move on from their wilderness place, and they want to go on to their promised land. So this is how you do it: through praise, through worship, through thanksgiving, not through murmuring, not through complaining, and not through grumbling. That will get you no place, but it's stuck in the mud, and so in the sand where you can't get out. And so you want to be able to be that God can move you and take you out of the situation, and just you can grow from it by praising, thanksgiving, and worship. And so we're going to close today. We have about a few more minutes. We'll get through a little early today, 6 minutes early. So we got 6 more minutes left. But I just want everybody to be encouraged this week. If you need healing, then find you some scriptures on healing and begin to speak those scriptures over your life until you see the healing manifest. Until you see the hope manifest in your life, until you see the peace manifest in your life, continue to speak those things over your life. Like I told you earlier with the man with the rock, he kept hitting the rock. He didn't see no sign of change. But then on that 100th time, the rock broke in half. So I believe that as we speak to our situation and we continue to speak to our situation, that we'll begin to see the changes in our life instead of speaking about our situation to everybody and anybody we can, murmuring and complaining about it. But when we speak to it with the word of God, speaking the word of God to it, believing that God is going to bless us, and when we pray, believing that we're going to receive, we'll see the changes in our life. And so we'll be back here next week on the Prospering Souls broadcast. I'm going to end with prayer, and then we will see you back here next week. and we'll continue on our topic. I think I might even get some other speakers to help with this topic. I have somebody in mind about that, and even some of our speakers to come on and see if they would want to talk about some of these particular topics, because it's a big topic, and it might even take us through the end of the year. We have so many other parts to cover, because we want people to realize, because this is that part in our lives, if we can get this tongue tamed, if we can get that tamed, we have really, we're on our way. So that's what we want to do, and if it's going to take us some time to get to that place, we're going to keep talking about it until we all have some victory in that area, because we do need to have victory in that area so that we can begin to live the life that God has promised us. So I'm going to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the word today. We thank you for this time of sharing in your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we pray that the word fell on good ground. And, Lord, that the seed of the word has went out and that it was either planting or watering in somebody's life. We thank you for every soul that came to Christ today, oh God, that decided to say, I'm giving my life over to you, Jesus, because I want to live for you. You made that confession in the earth realm to change, to let the devil know that you're no longer his seed, but you are a seed of God. And so we thank God for that today, and we thank God for that the blessings that the Lord will bless people, Lord, to begin to change their speech, God. They will start to be praises and be thankful, and they'll start to be worshipers, and they will no longer be murmurers or complainers or grumblers, oh God. Lord, let us be mindful. Every time the enemy tries to bring that up, that we will combat it with the word of God, and we'll begin to praise God, that they will seek out the word of God for their lives and begin to speak those things over their lives so that they can begin to see the changes that are made, that, Lord, that they can come out of the wilderness, oh God, and go over into the promised land and begin to live the life that you have promised and you are destined for them to live, oh God. We're supposed to live victorious in Jesus. He won the victory for us on the cross when he saved us. And so we don't have to continue to live in bondage and in slavery. We are free because the Son has set us free. So we thank you for our freedom today. In Jesus' name, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify you. And we will walk in victory and not in defeat. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We'll see you all back here next week on the Prosper and Souls broadcast. God bless you.